What are you to make of the words of the gospel today that say, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep? Now, a door might be seen to do one of two things. A door might be viewed as a place where one may enter into that which otherwise would be closed to them. Or two, a door might be closed, which has the ultimate effect of keeping one out. When the death and the resurrection of Jesus is your hope for the forgiveness of sins and your way of being reconciled to God the Father, then that door is open to you. And when Jesus and his work is not your only hope, then that door is closed. At the time when our Lord spoke these words, the sheep would be kept overnight in a common place. This place was kept by a shepherd or shepherds, whose whole sole task was to watch over and see to it that no one would attack the sheep from the outside. They were watching over the sheep of other shepherds, who normally would tend their sheep and care for their flock by day. When you go to bed at night, the Catechism of Dr. Luther invites you, the Christian, to pray that God would so watch over you during the night to keep you from all harm and danger. You say, and you pray, I thank you, my Heavenly Father, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would graciously keep me this night, for into your hands I commend myself, my body, soul, and all things. Now in the morning, when the shepherd came to the place where the sheep were kept, he would call to them in a particular way, and they, recognizing the voice of their shepherd, would come to the gate and be led from the pen and go out to pasture and water for the day. When I was a young child, my grandfather kept sheep. It always amazed me how at nighttime the sheep would be out in the pasture and my grandfather would whistle. Now at this time, I could not whistle. I wanted to whistle so that I too could call the sheep. But it was not merely my grandfather's whistle that called the sheep. It was then his voice that followed, where he would cry, "Come, sheep!" And the sheep would start walking to the place where they were kept at night. Now I wanted to call the sheep. So I tried. And I would yell, "Come, sheep!" And the sheep would keep on grazing. And it finally dawned on me that perhaps if I could whistle, that would solve the problem, but I couldn't whistle. So I had my grandfather whistle. And then I would say, "Come, sheep." The sheep looked up when the whistle came, but when the voice called them, they kept on eating. But then when my grandfather would say, "Come, sheep," guess what? The sheep came. The sheep knew the voice of my grandfather because he was their shepherd. Do you know the voice of your good shepherd? Before you answer that question too quickly, remember the people of the first covenant. Remember the children of Israel in the wilderness. And recall what Isaiah has to say, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." What does the voice of the good shepherd sound like is accompanied by the Holy Spirit. But there are words of Jesus that are hard to receive as gift. Words that offend our sensibilities and words of judgment. What does our Lord Jesus do in John chapter 6? He feeds 5,000 men plus women and children with five loaves and two fish. And having fed these people in the wilderness, he feeds with judgment those who take offense at his word, those who don't want to hear that their ideas about God and how God should work in their culture and society have been mistaken. People who value their own words, their own ideas above what God has said. And so those whose hungry bodies were fed by five loaves and two fish suddenly appeared like wayward sheep. And most are scattered because they follow him no more. But not all were scattered. Yes, those brief few who remained, those disciples who were still there, what about you? Will you go away too? But Peter, speaking for them, says, Lord, where could we go? You have the words of eternal life. That, dear friends, is what this earthly life is all about. Eternal life. What God really desires for you is to be with him in eternity. And when Jesus pointed out to those people who were listening to him that he not only was that word, but he gave them that word, they were offended. They were offended because Jesus had said, you must feed on me, or you would not have life. It would not be sufficient to believe that God had brought Israel out of Egypt. That indeed it never was sufficient, but they must recognize him as God. That now God has come in the flesh to feed them, and they must trust in him who would die and rise again so that they might be saved. And he criticized the self-righteous, telling them that their own opinions And he said, he laid down his life for the sheep. And the life he laid down by the mercy and grace of his Father was picked up again, assuring him that your life is also in his hand, unable to be plucked out, unable to be taken away from the flock to the place where he has put you. Yes, whenever you want to put your voice, your word in the place of his word, his voice, his word, calls you to return to the, as you heard in the epistle, the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Where his word is, you who are his are also gathered. And where he is and his word is, the wolves are put to fight. When his word reigns supreme and is sullied by your wisdom, but still proclaimed boldly, where does the Lord actually shepherd you? For this is how he keeps you in his care. And where his word is not, or where it is not allowed free course, or where it is falsely taught, there you are so easily made to wonder, and your being in his fold becomes, say, a mere formality, or a convenience, a matter of habit, or even social convention. But where his word is allowed to reign, where God's name is held, where the word of God is taught in its truth and purity, there you, as the children of God, are brought to lead holy lives according to it. And there Christ himself is present in your midst, just as he promised. Now where he is present, there is he shepherding. And where he is present, there he is feeding. And where he is present, there he is guiding and leading. And there he is binding up the brokenhearted. There he is strengthening and healing that which was sick, and continuing ever to seek out his scattered sheep, delivering them out of all places where they have been scattered in the dark and cloudy days. For it was on another dark and cloudy day, a day on which the sun was blocked out, that your good shepherd hung on a cross before sheep and wolves alike. All the sheep scattered, and the wolf made celebration as the shepherd was stricken. By the blood of the shepherd shed there, he